Well, welcome to this Friday edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Dave Ball here along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. Chuck, it's no surprise that the crown.org website has probably had more hits in the last 3 months than we have had maybe in the last 12 months combined. And certainly the economic chaos and the downturn in the economy has been a major part of that. But also, it's an indicator that people are afraid. They don't know what to do, and they're looking for help, and they're looking for some advice, and they're looking for counsel. And so today we want to talk to that and try and help people to look through the lens of faith rather than fear towards the future.
Well, I think it's what's going to distinguish us in the midst of all of this bad news, Dave, because the bad news is plentiful.
Sure.
Everywhere we look, there's more bad economic news, and that tends to create an environment of fear. In fact, the Consumer Confidence Index is at nearly an all-time low recently because people know that times are tough. I just read a survey last night when people were asked, were they intending to cut back on their spending in 2009? And it hasn't been this high in a long, long time because 59% of the people responded yes, we're cutting back.
Sure.
A clear lead indicator that people are concerned about the future. And so the balance that we have to strike is how do we be practically prepared? In other words, let's not be foolish and just put it off and think nothing's bad going to happen to me because I'm a Christian. In fact, Dave, I think there are going to be many, many Christians who will suffer. But how do I get my finances in order and not put faith in those, maintain faith in God, and to eliminate the fear? Because if you find yourself making fear-based decisions, you're probably going to be dead wrong on all those decisions. And God told us He did not give us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. But it's a delicate balance, Dave, because we shouldn't be laissez-faire, where it's just, okay, sera, sera, it's just all going to work out. We should be getting our house in order. We should be making provision for retirement. We should be building emergency reserves. We should be doing all the things that God says to do, getting out of debt, saving for the future, protecting our income, but without fear. Without fear. And that's where it's difficult for so many people. And that's what we want to talk about today. Exactly how do you do that? And I think it's going to be a very uplifting program because people don't like to live in this kind of fear.
Well, when we return, we're going to talk about going from fearing the future to facing your future with confidence. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries, and we'll be right back.
Having trouble keeping up with the latest job trends? Not sure where you fit into the marketplace of the 21st century? Well, let me introduce you to a revolutionary career assessment system based on the timeless truth of the Bible. Career Direct from Crown Financial Ministries. Career Direct is designed to help you maximize your God-given talents by focusing on the four critical components in career selection: personality, interests, skills, and values. Most other career guidance tools only analyze a couple of those. Thanks to cutting-edge technology, this comprehensive assessment can be completed in about an hour. And since it's online, once you're done, Career Direct will give you a thorough but easy-to-read personalized report. If you'd like to join the over 120,000 people who have already benefited from using Career Direct, go to crown.org. Find out where God intends for you to fit into the workforce of the 21st century by using the Career Direct Complete Guidance System at crown.org.
Well, welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Dave Ball here along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. And today we're talking about how to be able to face your future with confidence, regardless of what the economic indicators are or what the economy does, that as believers we have the ability to face our financial futures with confidence. And by the way, if you have to miss a portion of today's program, you can always hear it again by going to crown.org. Well, Chuck, as we look at what are some practical steps that we can do to begin to look at our future through the eyes of faith, what's maybe the first thing we should do, or maybe what's the first thing we need to avoid doing in order to do that?
Well, the first thing we said, Dave, was to avoid fear-based decisions. And the best example I can think of that in the Scripture comes from Daniel chapter 3, verse 16, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were about to be put in the fiery furnace. Now, that's a more difficult circumstance than most people are facing with their finances, right?
Right.
We all agree?
Yeah.
I mean, he turned the heat up. It was really, really bad. And they're about to go in there. And the king was trying to get them to change their mind and actually make a fear-based decision. And so they turned around and said, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand." Okay, so they expressed faith. "We're not afraid. Throw us in there. God's going to be in there with us, and we don't have to worry about it." But listen to this. They even went further. "But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you've set up." Now, Dave, this is a financial passage. Because what Nebuchadnezzar was saying is the whole world's worshiping gold. And I've set up an idol to gold, and you're going to worship gold too. And they said, "No, we're not. And God will rescue us inside that furnace. And even if he doesn't, we're not going to serve your God." So that's a wonderful distinction between faith and fear. And they refused to put their hope in gold. They refused to put their hope in the idol of the culture. And they had confidence, whether they suffered or didn't suffer, that God was unchangeable. Now, if you believe that, the first practical thing you can do is to start to give. Now, Dave, I do interviews, I write articles, I talk to people all the time. I was just at a conference this past weekend, and I got asked this question again. Where's a safe place to put my money? I'm looking for a safe place. Everybody wants a safe place so they can get rid of the fear of loss, right? They see the fiery furnace. They think their money's going to evaporate. What should I do? And I say the same thing over and over and over. Put your money into the kingdom of God. That's the safest place. In fact, God promises returns. He promises that it won't be stolen. It won't be destroyed. He says to give. Now, Dave, right now, there is so much fear. My concern is that Christians are going to forget that their highest priority should be giving, fulfilling their commitments, even when it may hurt. You know, this year end is when most ministries receive the largest portion of their budget. Most churches as well, prior to December the 31st. We're only 6 weeks out from that. And Christians now have to make a determination. Am I going to give without fear? Am I going to fulfill the commitments that I made this year? Am I going to be generous? Because generosity breaks that grip of fear. In fact, Dave, it's fear that keeps you from being generous. It's not the lack. Most people have something to give, but they don't give it because they're afraid that they're not going to have anything themselves. And I think that's why God used the two great examples of givers in the Bible, the widow and her mite, who gave all she had. That was a fearful thing. And the Macedonians, who out of their extreme poverty, it welled up in rich generosity because they'd given themselves first to God. And when you've done that, you do not have to fear, because you can trust God to be your provider.
You know, Chuck, just recently I heard somebody ask a question that was intended for it to be sort of a barometer of whether or not you really trusted God or you were trusting in your finances. And here was the question. If you had these two scenarios, which one causes you more fear? Number one, there is no God. Number two, there is no money in the bank account.
Well, that's a great litmus test.
Yeah.
And in fact, Dave, it will sort out where you've really placed your confidence. And in fact, Dave, that's the first line of fear that the enemy uses. And we've talked about this before. The enemy says God is not reliable. I think that's why my life verse flows out of 1 Corinthians 1:9, that God who called you into fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ, is faithful. Because I'm not always faithful, Dave. But God is always faithful. He's the unchanging part of the relationship. Now, it doesn't mean that we won't suffer. And what happens is that people begin to experience financial loss. They begin to worry about suffering. They begin to project out into the future that they're not going to be able to retire. They're not going to be able to go on the mission field. They're not going to be able to play golf four times a week. Their standard of living may decrease. All these things start to spiral up on us as we project out into the future. And what we're actually saying is that we had placed our confidence in money. And God's purifying that from our thinking right now. Dave, that's one of the great things that I think is going on through this downturn, is that God's making that distinction. If you had to choose door number one, there is no God, or door number two, there is no money. Which would you choose? I think that's a great analogy. Now, I also believe we're going to come back to living like this, like it says in James chapter 4. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Okay? That is so much our attitude. I mean, we make plans and we say, oh, well, okay, I may lose over here, but here's my new plan. Here's the way I'm going to adjust. Here's the way I'm going to reallocate my assets. Here's the new investment plan. Here's exactly what I'm going to do and how next year it's all going to work out. But listen to verse 14. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, now here's where faith comes in, Dave. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and we'll do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag, and all such boasting is evil. And anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. And what he's saying is projecting into the future about all this that you think is going to happen without first saying it must be the Lord's will for this or that to occur. God's in control. You're saying, I choose door number two in that equation. The money could go away, but there is a God. And that God is in charge of my future. He's in charge of what I need for provision. He knows all that. Why am I afraid? Let's return to what James said, to trust in God and not ourselves.
Well, Chuck, we often get frustrated when we expect an answer from God that we feel is going to be positive. You know, it's that door one, door two thing. But he may not choose to answer the way we want to or expect him to. After the break, let's come back and let's talk about what are the reasons why God may not respond the way we want him to when we ask. You're listening to Money Life, and we'll be right back.
You know, the Bible says to train up your children in the way they should go, and that includes teaching them God's way of managing money. But how do you make learning the basics about money easy for kids ages 3 and up? Try the ABCs of Money package from Crown Financial Ministries. The ABCs of Money package has two interactive ways for children to learn what the Bible says about money. First, there's the ABC Learning Bank. It has three detachable compartments made in the shape of the letters A, B, and C. Your kids will use one for giving, one for saving, and one for spending. The package also comes with the ABCs of Handling Money God's Way student workbook. Through an interesting study, simple Bible studies, and fun, hands-on activities, your kids will learn not only about money, but also some important things about God. Invest in the future of your children by teaching them God's way of managing money with the ABCs of Money package. It's available at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. And Chuck, just before we went to the break, we were talking about trusting God and can I trust Him? And oftentimes we find ourselves frustrated. We'll come before God and ask for something, but He appears not to respond either the way we want or He doesn't respond at all. And there are actually several places in Scripture where it gives us an idea of why that might be the case.
Well, Dave, I think what happens is many people think God didn't answer my prayer, therefore He's not faithful, something must be wrong with Him. And in fact, what God says very specifically is that there are reasons why He doesn't answer prayer. And I think when our prayers are not being answered, and we get emails like that all the time, people say, we're praying, and nothing's happening, and I'm still stuck, or my house is still going into foreclosure.
Right.
The bill collectors are still at the door. Well, here's some of the things to think about. In James 4:3, the Lord said, you may be asking with the wrong motive. In Luke 11:3-10, it may not be God's time to answer that prayer. Acts 21:13 says it may be contrary to His overall plan and will for your life. That maybe He's saying no to your prayer. Also, we may have it backwards, where we're expecting God to serve us. Job 41:11 says that we're called to serve God. We're not to expect Him to serve us. And this is one that's always kind of been hidden. Many times it depends on how the husband is treating the wife, whether or not the Lord's going to answer your prayer. 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of this gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Mm-hmm. Now, that ought to get our attention. God's saying, if you want me to hear your prayers, get in line with my will. Wait on me. Be patient. You may have to suffer, but it doesn't mean I am not faithful.
Well, Chuck, as we get down to sort of the practical side of this, certainly there are a few things more practical than treating your wife kindly and with respect. But beyond that, let's look at what are some steps that we can follow to ensure that we can and will trust God completely with our present and our future.
Well, Dave, to get rid of fear and to fully trust God, be sure, number one, that you're following God's direction for your life. There's nothing that gives a person more confidence to be able to say, I'm following God's will. I know exactly what I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to do that without turning back. And there's all kinds of examples throughout the scripture. There's examples throughout life of people we've seen that have sought the Lord's will and said, now that I know it, I'm moving forward.
Well, Chuck, are there some tools? If somebody is wanting to find the direction for their life and they just are asking, how do I do that? Are there some tools that they can use to help find that information?
Well, Larry Burkett was such a big proponent of this, that God made you as unique as a snowflake. Find out exactly how you're wired and go and fulfill your purpose around your gift mix. And that's why he created Career Direct. You can take that survey online and then hand it to a friend and say, what can you tell me that you've learned from this survey that I need to be doing to pursue God with all my heart and to be in the right vocation?
And you can find those at crown.org.
At crown.org.
What's another step that we need to follow to ensure that we really trust God?
Well, to really get rid of fear, I think that you have to put into action what you say you believe. And actually, if you don't put it into action, I don't think you really believe it. You just know the facts. You've heard it said over and over, but you've never really put it on and rested in that truth. Let me give you an example. I had a friend who had a large family. I think there were seven or eight children in his family. The oldest one was gifted in music, wanted to be a concert pianist. And he came to his dad one day and said, Dad, could we buy a grand piano? And of course, his dad was immediately like, are you kidding? No. But that's what he was thinking. But then he realized, I've got an opportunity here to do something much bigger in my family and with my son. I said, well, son, there is no way that I could buy a grand piano for our family. I can't afford it. I don't have the money. But if you would agree to pray with me, let's ask God to see if he might provide it. And that father and his oldest son began to pray. And Dave, it was less than 2 weeks. And then a lady called who was a widow. And she said to this man, sir, I'm downsizing. I've got to move from the large house I've been in for years to a smaller home. And I'd like to ask you a favor. I have a very wonderful grand piano that I have no place to store. Could I store it in your home indefinitely? Could I just leave it there until I need it back instead of pay for storage for it? And within 2 weeks, there was a grand piano in their living room that they didn't pay a thing for. And in fact, Dave, it's still there. Mm-hmm. And this person ended up saying, I would just like for you to have it. And so there was a lesson of faith there. He put it into action. He didn't say, we're going to give up. God would never do that for us. Let's just ask God. It was so encouraging for him and his entire family. And every time I go to their home, I say, there is an example of God's faithfulness.
Well, you know, what that really expresses is the idea of a long-range viewpoint. They weren't looking at the immediate. They were looking at it from God's perspective. And really, that's another step in this process of trusting God.
Dave, another step is to stop second-guessing God. Because sometimes he does something that we don't like, and then we misjudge it and go, well, that was bad, or God didn't answer my prayer. Here's an example. One of my heroes of the faith was R.G. Letourneau. And he was a dirt contractor. 1 year, the economy was bad. He had his back to the wall. He had to bid on this major, major contract to move dirt in order to even make it through the winter. Well, it turns out he lost the bid to a competitor. And he was miserable. He went to work for his brother and said, look, I've got a tractor. Can I just pull some stumps off of the land that my brother owns? And it was a bitter pill to swallow. And he thought God had turned his back on him because he didn't get the big lucrative contract. It turned out, Dave, that it rained more that winter than any other winter on record. And the man who got the contract to plow the fields and to move the dirt went broke because it was so muddy. He couldn't get in the fields with any heavy equipment. But guess what did happen? Those stumps he was pulling were a lot easier to pull once the rains came. And he said he was pulling those stumps and said, praise God, you did answer my prayer. You provided my need in a way I could have never forecast.
You're listening to Money Life. We'll take a short break and be right back.
Are you over 50 and thinking about retirement? Well, if you want to actually experience retirement one day, you have to plan for it. And we have a book that'll tell you how. It's Your Money After the Big 5-0, written by Crown Financial Ministries co-founder Larry Burkett and financial planner Ron Blue. Your Money After the Big 5-0 will equip you with biblical wisdom and practical advice for succeeding in the second half of life, having a fully funded retirement, and being free to serve the Lord. And you'll learn about the importance of finishing strong and leaving a legacy of stewardship to your children and grandchildren. If you're ready to put together a financial plan for a retirement that'll honor God and give you wealth at last, get a copy of Your Money After the Big 5-0 right now at crown.org. Your Money After the Big 5-0 by Larry Burkett and Ron Blue is available online at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Well, welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Dave Ball here along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. And Chuck, in the last segment, we were talking about some steps that we can take to ensure that we truly can trust God with our future. And there's a final step that we didn't get to. Let's talk about that.
Well, Dave, I think it's so important to overcome fear with faith that you actively pray. And what I've found in most people's life is they actively worry. And they think that the worrying is a form of prayer, and they think that kind of grinding it out and just never letting go. And really, they go to bed with this worry on their mind, they grind it out all night long, and they wake up with it. And there's got to be a point in which you say, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to trust, and I'm going to watch God handle that. It reminds me of what the Lord said, see how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. The farmer has to pray and wait, and so may we. Pray and wait and be diligent about it and see what God will do when you truly do trust Him.
Well, Chuck, it's our prayer that today's message has resonated with people. And if so, and they want to find out more or maybe even find this article, which is called Fearing the Future, where can they do that?
Well, they can do that at crown.org, and while they're there, Dave, they can also find some other tools that will be available for them. I'm so excited about our new Help, Hope, and Insight feature at crown.org. There's new videos posted daily. There's new tools. You can access a free online budget coach. That's one of our greatest tools to help people through this financial crisis. You can also order a money map. There are so many people who are faithfully following the steps on that money map. I would recommend that you host a seminar in your local church or in your area. Get one of our live trained instructors to come to your area and to help you understand what God says about becoming financially free.
Well, if somebody wants to get a seminar in their area, how should they do that?
Well, Dave, we are blessed to have full-time staff throughout the country, and you can go on crown.org and find a local staff member and touch base with them. You can contact us here at the office or online and request a live seminar. You can request a meeting with the local staff member. You may want to volunteer to be a part of our outreach in your city. I couldn't encourage you more to get involved for such a time as this. There's been no greater time than right now to get involved with helping people eliminate the fears that the enemy is using against them.
Well, Chuck, at the beginning of the program, you mentioned that this is the time of the year that ministries typically receive the bulk of their financial support. And right now, we're in that same place. And talk a little bit about what's going on here in that regard.
Well, Dave, 24% of our annual income is typically given between right now and December 31st. And we need to have a great outpouring of support from our radio listeners. If you've been helped, will you start praying right now about what God would have you to do to be a part of this ministry?
Well, you certainly can be a part of it very easily by going to crown.org, and you'll find a button there that says Donate Now, and you can donate online. Well, for Chuck Bentley and the entire staff here at Crown Financial Ministries, thanks so much for joining us for this edition of Money Life.